mortal realms are in turmoil. Sigmar's Dawnbringer Crusades teeter on the precipice between survival and disaster, even as the forces of chaos, destruction, and death grow in power. But you know who's been suspiciously absent from the titanic struggles that have come to dominate the Eight Realms? The Skaven Hordes. After a long period seemingly at the periphery of the action, the Skaven had returned with a radiclysmic bang. The realms have gotten too used to a world where vermin can keep to the shadows, and the consequences are dire. All that skulking around was time spent plotting the greatest scheme of all. The Vermin Doom, blossoming much from the fetid sub-realm of Blight City directly into the realm of fire, and opening up festering rents in reality across the rest of the mortal realms. At the same time, the Great Horned Rat has struck a deal with Archaon himself and ascended to his rightful place as a full fifth member of the Chaos Pantheon, somewhat to the chagrin of the erstwhile four. In the face of such calamity, the stormcast Eternals of the Hallowed Knight's Chamber stand as the foremost bulwark against the ever-expanding tide of rodents. But the horrors they face in combating a continent-sized outbreak of Skaven are so overwhelming that they've been forced to call upon the Ruination Chamber. These are the most grizzled veterans of the Stormcast, heroes of a thousand battles dating back to the Soul Wars and before, brave men and women who have died over and over again in the service of the God King. The innumerable reforgings have taken a heavy toll. These heroes have been sequestered in monasteries for years now, clinging to the last vestiges of their humanity. Now they've been called upon once more, the only forces hardy enough to enter a war zone blighted by the corrupting forces of the Warp Stone. For those mighty warriors, this may be the final time they step into battle, at least as themselves. Welcome to the garage, you tools, for the next 2 hours or thereabouts. We're going to do our best to keep you informed, entertained, and have some laughs along the way, bringing you Ruination, Rats, and a reboot. I'm Dave Wytek, and with me as always is Lindsay, the albino Canadian hockey puck. Say hi, Lindsay. And Chris Walker will be with us momentarily. That's right. He will be with us soon. Meanwhile, I just want to take this moment to thank the sponsors of Garage Hammer, and that includes Chaos Orc Superstore, Six Squared Studios, and Grognards. That's right. Chaos Orc Superstore, Chaos Orc Superstore, Six Squared Studios, Grognards. That's not even a new jingle. I'm just trying things out. All right, so what do we got here? Let's thank also our Patreon sponsors. That's right, the Patreon sponsors, the ones who make this episode and every episode we do possible. And that includes our associate producers, Jake C., James Brown, and Old Man Yeti, and our executive producers, Scotty Milne, George Stradone, and Kyle Leaf. Thank you guys for becoming the almost 1% of Patreon, or almost 1% of listeners who have become Patreon patrons and make this show happen. So here's what's going to happen. I am going to call Chris real quick, get him on the phone, and then we are going to listen to some voicemail, because I think we have voicemail. We have voicemail. We've got to have voicemail. There's the voicemail. I don't want Walker to miss the voicemail. We've only got one, but that's fine. We got one, and we will be listening to that as soon as I get Walker on the phone, so just hold on for 1 second.
What up?
Hey.
How are you?
Good. We're on the air. And okay. And just keep talking, and let's get our stuff going. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Quite well.
Very good. Okay. Big, long drive today. Crazy town.
Yeah, you said you had a huge thing today.
I had to drive to Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, and back.
How long of a drive is that for you?
That's about 4 hours each way.
So you drove 8 hours today and then worked.
I worked, for like 3 hours while I was there.
Dear Lord.
It's crazy.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so we're already in on the show. Everything's been introduced, and we are up to the voicemails.
Sweet. Let's get it going.
Let's do this. All right. We got one voicemail, and I think this is Joshua. I'm just from the reading, but you know you can never quite trust Google Translate. So let's see what we got here.
Hey, David. Hey, Chris. This is Joshua down from Disney. I haven't called you guys in a while. Just flying home from Adepticon. Missed seeing you all there. Had a great time, and just wanted to say thanks for giving me some stuff to listen to on my flight. So thanks again. Bye-bye.
Well, we did drop that one right before Akon.
We did.
That was great. Now, we didn't get to see a lot of people at Akon because you were there for about 3 hours.
Right.
And I was there only Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I was there Wednesday for the GW release thing, but I had to work and things were going on, so I couldn't be there half the weekend.
Right.
I'm going to try to do a little recap of it, probably as a separate little bonus episode just for the stuff we did when we were there. There wasn't much to talk about. Like, we were planning on a whole Adepticon episode. And then, like, 2 weeks before Adepticon, I had to cancel.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're, like, just a couple days before, you're like, yeah, I'm not going either. I can't. And I was like,
right.
We both had family stuff pop up. And
yep.
It's like, oof. And that's, you know, that I felt
it
bad
happens.
About that. It happens. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, that's the one that's in our backyard. At least if you had to
cancel,
you know. Like, that's why we were able to show up. Like, things freed up. And it's like, oh, I can go over on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, and I wound up having a... Not only having a great time, but getting to play the ringer for
some of
the... You got
to play as the ringer in the team tournament, which is cool.
And let me say something. Playing ringer is awesome. It is. Dude, I'm supposed to go have the most fun possible with the least pressure possible.
Yeah.
And then the plans are, I'm supposed to lose. I'm not really in the tournament. So
I watched some of that game you were playing. I was like... Just go.
Well, then that's the thing. I'm not worrying about every little rule. I'm not worrying about every little thing. I'm not worrying about, is this strategically right? It's kind of like, here's some guys, push them forward, do some stuff.
And you were playing Iron Jaws, so it was perfect for that.
I played Iron Jaws on one, and I played then Ogres on the other.
Oh, okay.
I played, and I just had a blast. Had a blast.
Cool.
I saw so many people there. Can't name everybody right now.
I
said, that's kind of why I want to try to, you know, it's one of those things. Everyone knows, A, I'm terrible with names, and then B, I walk around Adepticon and see in 2 days, I talk to hundreds of people.
Right.
And I don't want to skip anybody that I spent time with, so I'm going to try to make sure I got all this right. And the people we saw and got to play and hang out with, by the way, it was awesome.
I got to go for about an hour or so, hour and a half.
You live right there,
like
that. So that was nice.
I know. I'm like 20 minutes from there, so
able
that
to pop
nice.
In
it
was
cool.
Fun.
And it was nice just to suck up the atmosphere, and you just kind of feel the energy in that big room, and, you know, kind of get you jazzed up a little bit, you know? It's pretty awesome.
The Warhammer room is nice because it's not as necessarily as cold as the other room, but the Warhammer room also doesn't have as much ventilation, and it gets warm in there. So sometimes it's a little,
it's
a little stale.
It's carpeted as well, which
is
nice.
Yeah, it gets a little stale, the air in there. However, and I'm not saying even bad smelling or anything like that. I'm not trying to talk about gamer funk, although it was present at certain times.
Well, you were playing, when I saw you were playing in the back row, which is like, kind of nice, I think, because now you don't have anybody behind you.
Well, and it was kind of interesting because they flipped the way everything was set up, so where the tables that were running were on the long side.
Yeah.
So it was a little, it seemed a little better just set up, sorted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had such a good time. I really needed that. Honestly, it was 2 days of no pressure, got to do some shopping, got to see some people. Like I said, and I want to say this too, Adepticon was really nice because as soon as I found out I couldn't make it, they were really cool. They're like, they refunded me for the tournament I had signed up for.
Oh,
my
that's
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally like just 2 or 3 days after I had signed up for everything.
Oh,
I think.
Wow.
Or no, it
okay.
wasn't 2 or 3 days.
It was pretty close to that.
It was getting, but it was it was after everything had been finalized because I know they had, like, we're shipping everything. And I'm like, okay, the 1 year I planned on shipping, now I can't go.
Yeah. Like, I was signed up for the team tournament as well as the championships. And
that's 10 games in 4 days.
I was ready. You know what I mean?
I know you were ready. I would have died.
Yeah. But I ended up, I gave my team tournament ticket to, a friend. So he filled in. So
right. You got
to
fill
he
in.
He was
yeah.
psyched. He was psyched. So he didn't have to pay for it, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Just go. So he even asked me, he's like, well, yeah, I do it, but I can't really pay for it. I'm like, dude, just go.
Yeah, I mean, it's already paid for.
It's already paid for. Go, yeah, go, man.
You can't play with three out of four members on a team tournament.
Yeah, so that was awesome. And then, you know, he just...
Well, Chris just froze there. He just what?
Oh, it was fine. It was really fun.
Yeah, no, like I said...
to see people there having fun. And
yeah, it was really, really cool to be there. One of the best times I've had for not being there the whole weekend and being actually competing in anything, just kind of showing up and being like, hey, you guys need any help? Wytek, you want a ring? Sure. And I got to play with Tupper. Me and Tupper, which is just...
That's cool.
Honestly, me and Tupper are not two people you should put together on the same team on the side if you're trying to take it seriously at all. Because
his army looked amazing, by the way.
And once again,
his Slaves of Darkness army looked sweet. It
looks
cool.
Really good. But once again, a great way to ring. Just me and Tupper just making jokes. Like if we were actually your real opponents, like I could see people getting annoyed because we just were not taking it seriously. But that was what we weren't supposed to do.
Yeah.
And boy, was it fun. I cannot say enough how much fun I had playing with Tupper. And
how was the vendor hall? I didn't even walk in there.
Dude, it's getting bigger. It had several aisles all the way back this time. Like I think it's much larger than it was. I actually bought a bunch
It's not Gen Con level vendor hall, but it's...
Well, nothing is. That's that whole hall. It's 31 aisles in Gen Con. And the aisles are in the main vendor hall is 31 aisles deep. It is the entire length of the hall, which, by the way, each of those aisles is longer than any of the Adepticon sale aisles. I mean, it's ridiculous at Gen Con. But
I haven't been to Gen Con in a long time.
Artis Opus was there, so I got to say hi to those guys. And I bought one of those dampening pad things, and then I lost it. So they were there, so I got to buy another one.
Oh, great.
There was so much stuff there. Dude, Atomic Mass Games. Was there. They had a huge area in the vendors hall with demos and stuff. And
the Shatterpoint guys?
Yeah. And Star Wars Legion they do and a couple other things. And boy, oh boy. And apparently they had
in the VIG box, right?
I think so.
The VIP box was Shatterpoint.
Was
it?
I don't know. If I knew that, I would have been anybody who didn't want that. I would have picked some stuff up.
I thought it might have been in there, but
I don't know. Everyone I saw was walking around with some big tank game. Everyone got tanks. Oh, I was like,
I don't know.
But like I said, we talked too much about this anyway. We should do another whole thing. But it was awesome, and we will talk about that. And if there's time at the end of the episode, we can go back. But there's so much.
Yeah,
we were planning talking Adepticon, and then in the past like 5 days, all heck broke loose. So I got new notes typed up and sent to you, and we're going to go. But before we do that, this is still the opening segment of the show. So I suppose we ought to just get ready to move along here. I just want to make sure we did everything. And we did. Oh, okay. Cool. So why don't we take that break? Then we're going to come back. Then we're going to talk about... we wanted to talk about all the news coming out for AOS 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the plan. Kind of go over what Games Workshop has told us so far, the stuff they've sent us, the the images of the different things, and then we were just going to talk about our thoughts about it.
Yeah.
But we've got a couple other things to talk about, too. So let's take that break. Let's get back, and then let's jump in.
Nice.
Right, folks, Chaos Orc Superstore, your one-stop shop for all your hobby gaming needs. They've not only got current and classic GW releases, ChessX Dice, and Vallejo Paints, but now they're also carrying Mantic, Infinity, Flames of War, Privateer Press, Soda Pop, Dark Age, and other assorted board and miniature-based games. They usually ship within 24 hours, and the model in the picture is the model they ship to you, because at Chaos Orc Superstore, what you see is what you get. Chaos Orc Superstore.
And we are back.
Yes, hello. We are. We are back. And, okay. So I wanted to spend this first short segment talking about the bad news. Much like our end of the year episode, we try to start with the negative so we can end on a positive.
Sure. GW dropping bombs.
Okay. So what was it, Wednesday? They're like, yeah, so complete reboot of the game and some things are changing. And the change is bone splitters are just kind of going away. there's several changes, and I'm not trying to downplay what's happening. I'm just trying to start with the different things.
Yeah.
It's actually only 9 units, which they're the same 9 units, I think, that they started AOS with. So
yeah, they are. And you can still play those in Old World, I guess.
Well, and now, okay.
They're in there, aren't they? The Savage Orcs?
Yeah.
They're in Old World.
I think so, yeah, because you could play them as Savage Orcs. Yeah. Now, I was reading the articles in Warhammer Community. And the notice with the armies going away, the way they worded it, and I've seen a lot of argument over this, and once again, I am not trying to say to anyone that you shouldn't be mad that your army is not here or any of that stuff, okay? I get... look, whenever models are eliminated that you bought and you built and you either played with or never played with or played with every weekend, you bought and painted these models on the dream that you're going to eventually play someday.
Yeah.
And to have that taken away from you sucks.
Yeah.
All right. So
it's not a great feeling.
Yeah. Oh no, my God. It's not even 9 models. 9. Bone splitter, 7 units. Savage Boys, Savage Boar Boys, Weird Knob, War Doc, Mad Mob, and that's the Underworld crew.
Yeah.
The Big Boss and the Prophet. Like, they had almost no models.
Yeah, I mean, most of the only model people are going to miss from that is like the Morzog Prophet dude with like the laser beam eyes.
First of all, that is a cool model.
Right? That is a cool model.
That was such a great model. That is a shame that it's going.
Yeah, I mean, that was the model that everyone took from that faction for Big Wa because he had an amazing war scroll, so people are maybe bummed about that. But if you were a Savage Orc player or a Bone Splitters player, I'm sorry.
Now, there's some stuff that also was just, I think it was still all either fine cast or metal or whatever it was, but the Branch Wraith, the Eternity Warden, Valkia, Syla, and Fingrim.
Yeah, those were resin only, I think.
Yeah, the Big Boss on Gigantic Spider, the Madcap Shaman, and the Mistweaver Sai. The Mistweaver Sai was from
it was a long time ago. Is that the very beginning of AOS?
No, that's in the, what was the game? The
Curse, was it not Curse City? Silver Tower?
Yeah, Silver Tower, yeah. That's a Silver Tower model. I don't even know what's happening. I think it's a Silver Tower model. Wasn't it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. You haven't seen these. But so that was, you know, like I said, bone splitters being gone, sad. Skaven, on the other hand, they listed 16 models, and I'd be surprised if all 16 of these aren't just getting new sculpts. I mean, some of them are. You know,
well,
they're
we already
new
know
sculpts.
Clan Rats are getting a new one.
Well, right, they just said that today. Plus, who thought they were getting rid of Clan Rats?
I mean,
the Scryer Acolytes, which used to be the Poisoned Wind Globadiers, which I wish they would keep their names that way because they're so cool. Mm-hmm. Plague Center Bears, you know, all these are coming back. God, Scryer Acolytes, they were some of my favorite models. And if you want them, you still have to buy them in metal. Like,
right? I know.
You still have to find them used in metal. It's bananas.
Well, no, I think it's how they sold them on the website. They were metal models, and they were $60 for 5.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was bananas, and I love them.
Yeah.
So Skaven is getting an obvious reboot, and we're all glad about that.
Yes.
Slaves to Darkness. I am not.
But they drop from that range.
Now, okay, it said now that they've got Dark Oath, remember they were putting up all of the Warcry warbands as, you know, different groups of mortal followers.
Yes.
And now that they've got Dark Oath, apparently,
Yeah, they're getting rid of all the Warcry war bands as like
they're going to get Legends like War Scrolls. Now, here's my question, as well as Karga's Reavers from Warhammer Underworlds. So
yeah,
are these can you not get them for Warcry anymore?
I don't know, that is
unclear because they're going to get Legends War Scrolls. Now you can still keep playing them.
You can still play these in work. Right?
I mean, my students are still playing with them because you know what, they don't know from fourth ed or anything else, so they're still playing with them. I'm assuming. Are they going to get this? Is 10 different Warcry war bands?
Yeah,
and it says here, the Mortal Realms will be retiring from the spot. The wider worshippers of chaos and the Mortal Realms are retiring from the spotlight and the range. So is that just the range of Slaves to Darkness? Or are they not? This is the part that this article is unclear on.
I think if I were an English teacher, I would be like, unclear. Yeah, I agree with you. So additionally, another older Warcry Underworld Warbands will go to off sale. Oh, yeah. So the older Warcry units.
What does it say off sale? We might be looking at a different thing here. But
see the picture of the unmade there on the website?
Yeah.
So this is right underneath there. Additionally, a number of older Warcry and Warhammer Underworld warbands for Slaves to Darkness will go off sale and enter Legends. Many more Underworld warbands remain on sale and will only be supported by Digital Legends War Scrolls, the next edition. So
that's Digital Legends next edition. So it sounds like they're going to get War Scrolls and stuff for this edition, and you can play it. Now, they did say everything we're talking about right here that will be tournament legal for 1 year for official GW tournaments, not at your local store. Right. Now, let's face it. A lot of tournaments don't take Legends after a while because they don't fit.
Exactly. Right.
So Even though they're saying they're going to support it, they said that it's not tournament legal, but it'll move to Legends, but it does say it'll be supported. I read a couple of places saying it'll be supported throughout the edition that they had written.
Pretty
that.
Much, we know how this goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
anything
here
that's Legends is kind of like, don't bring that to a tournament. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Technically, there are still War Scrolls.
Here we go.
Phoenix Guard, but...
New background and rules will be considered legal for use in competitive play until summer of 2025. At that point, they will move to Legends and no longer supported. And it says here, we will continue to support this content with rules and balance update as needed throughout the edition. See?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's not just here's the War Scroll and we're going to drop it. Like when it goes to Legends in a year, like are they going to support it? Because it's a 3-year cycle.
Well, I guess what they're not going to do is they're not going to put any of this stuff in the Slaves to Darkness battle tome. It's not going to be in there.
Oh, no. That's right? Obvious.
That's pretty much what they're saying here. They're going to have digital War Scrolls for all this stuff.
They are saying several other things, though, that are unclear. And that's my only problem with how they're describing this. Like, some of it says it's going off. You can't buy it. I get that.
Yeah.
But some of it is just sort of like, wait a minute. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the saddest news, I think, is Beasts of Chaos.
I know.
Now, I have a cockatrice. Aw. All right.
You have
a
new one? Yeah, one of the new ones?
No, that same one that's in the picture. One of those old ones. I think it's in Finecast.
Did you click on the... that last chance to buy link that they have on there?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're selling it out. If you want to get it now because they're going to be gone. Yeah, we're not making anymore. I mean, that seems a little callous and cold.
Right.
That, hey, I know you're upset, but give us more money does look bad.
Yeah.
But you know what? Honestly, I've seen a lot of people in different social media saying, I have to rush in and buy all this now because I'm either going to play it for... Right. A different game, or I want to make sure I have it because I like it. So,
well, those are those completists, right? Who are like, I need to have every model in the range.
I was that guy for a while, and you kind of are that guy. So let's not mock them. You own everything. But let's see. So what's going on? The Vanguard box, the Herdstone, and then there's six. Oh, the Endless Spells, Beast Lord, Ungors, Bestigors, Gores, Bulgors, Warhounds, Dragon Ogres, Cygor, Gorgon, Beast. That Beast Lord's so cool. Centigors, Chariot, Jabberslith, Doombull, Shoggoth, and Cockatrice. All
yeah, I mean the only model they got for their. Remember, we were slagging them off for the only model they got for their release was the Beast Lord. Now we know why.
Yeah, because it's going to. Now it is going to the old world, and once again, that is not by any stretch of the imagination a complete excuse for this. Like, I think we've all talked about it. We all know it. Games Workshop has made it very clear these two games, Old World and AOS, aren't supposed to mix.
No, there was a very, different bases. Like the whole.
But
thing.
I'm saying the model lines too. There was a very interesting video. Rob Symes put it out talking about this, and he was talking about what he knew about from how Games Workshop works and how apparently each game like sort of has its own business numbers, or that's how he understood it to work. I don't know if this is right or not, right? But so one of the reasons it has to stay split is because like all models sold for Seraphon get credit for AOS, and so... if you buy a bunch of Seraphon for the old world guys don't get any credit for that. So, like, their funding doesn't get... it was a weird
That's
thing, and I
wild.
Don't know if it's right or not, but basically, like, 40K gets all the money at once because 40K sells a ton. If your game's not selling a ton, you don't get any more money to advance it. So, if your game takes off, you know, if it does well... if it can do well, then it can get this, which is how we wound up with, you know, getting all sorts of new things for the old world. This is how Epic has been selling like crazy. And so if it sells like crazy, you get more. And if it doesn't, but they've got them like split up into weird things. Like
interesting.
I mean, there's different departments in every business, but it seemed weird that the way that certain models count for certain things and not others. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it works. All I know is that... they're not here, they're there. You don't want to rebase. You don't want to play Old World. You don't want to buy... Now, I'll say this. You only need two books for Old World. The game's fun. But I get it. Like, no, I planned on playing this. It was so funny. My buddy at work, Jim. Jim comes in. He's like, I can't believe they did it at the Beastmen. I was going to start a Beastmen army. I'm like, everyone was going to start a Beastmen army. Yeah. That's why there's no Beastmen army. But this goes back to that whole thing. He was waiting to buy it. They saw the new, they had the new model, the one model.
The one new model.
And they're like, okay, but they're not abandoning us. And so they're just waiting for the new line, the refresh to go all in.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I'm like, everyone was waiting for the refresh, but nothing was selling. So it's a vicious cycle. This doesn't sell. So they make less. So now nothing's happening. So there's less players. So now everyone who wants to play is waiting because nobody wants it. And then it's like a game of chicken where everybody loses.
Yeah. I mean, I painted a whole Beastman army for Age of Sigmar and never played it once.
Okay. I will say this, though. First of all,
terrible?
Not necessarily.
I mean,
dude, you know how many. Okay. First of all, don't say that because you know how many listeners we got to that don't play this game? Like, that's we just true. Don't have time to play. I mean, it's crazy. You know, we are a hobby game show. I mean,
I know.
But it's sad. But you did. You built it. And you know what?
I enjoyed putting it together and painting it and the whole thing.
And I think they're cool. There were some people saying they don't belong in AOS because they don't have enough lore. And I'm like, their lore is kind of like they ran stuff for a while just as the big bads. And and then once things got unified, they got kind of pushed back. But it's like they're just – I've always thought of them as children of chaos. And I know they talk about Chaos Undivided and stuff like that. But it's not so much Chaos Undivided as these guys have been warped by chaos and warpstone. That's how they came about in the old world. And mix and rot. And
here's the dealio, though. The Beastmen are in the Age of Sigmar lore.
Oh, sure they are.
Like one of the main instigators against the Sylvaneth was that that one Beastman Shaman.
Yeah, and there's a couple. Like, there was the Beastman who was fighting with the Orc guy when they were trying with the Kronspire Incarnates coming into life and stuff like that.
I mean, they're in the lore, so
they're going to be there. But they're, you know what it is? Go back and read any of the find them in fiction.
I know.
They had like two characters, and then everything else was generic Beastmen. When you needed someone to block the way that wasn't your main bad guy, and you needed to write a half a chapter about how these guys were delayed because they had to get into a fight, you throw in Beastmen to die. That's literally what happened to them constantly. They were treated poorly in the lore.
Yeah. On our Beastmen episode, Beasts of Chaos episode, we went into like their book and we like, let's look at all their named characters. Oh, they have two.
There was two.
Or one. Or
was there
two or one? I think they have one.
That's right.
Underworld's guy.
That's right. They had
Underworld's guy.
They had more guys in the old edition, like the One Eye or whatever his name is, or three, whatever.
Well, that was in Warhammer Fantasy. They had quite a few.
Right, and then they came here, and then
in their Age of Sigmar, they have one guy who's a Warhammer Underworlds dude.
Yeah,
they just oh god, they have no named characters. Like what's
and,
happening?
And I don't and it's this that it's hard. It's hard. And saying, you know, you saw the writing on the wall a while back, whether you saw it or not, that doesn't help. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are still angry. I understand that. And I feel bad for you if your Beastmen army got blanked and you really love Beastmen. Hopefully you can proxy them. Now, the weirdest thing is that the guys, the Beastmen that are in other Chaos books...
Yeah, the Zangors.
Zangors
are
staying. So they're still here in the lore. They just no longer have an army. They're just mutated. Yeah. So it's weird.
So I painted my Beasts of Chaos, my Gores. I painted them in like on the Zinch colors. You know.
Yeah.
So I use them as my Zangors and my Zinch army. Never had anybody say anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, but yeah. I mean, come on now. You're not trying to play anything funny with it, so that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken to tournaments, and no one's like, well, are those? Oh, there's Zangor. Oh, okay, cool.
Uh-huh. So now here comes the strangest part of this, and we'll talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Stormcast Eternals are getting gutted.
Yeah.
I'm of two minds about this. Nobody likes to see stuff in your line disappear. But everybody knows this line was bloated. It's why I don't play them. It's literally why I don't play them. I started with them right when AOS came out. You know, I know a lot of people didn't like the look. The giant golden boys, I did. I thought they were cool once I saw them in person. And I got into it. And then second edition came out, and they got a whole refresh on the line, and they got wizards and the, you know, what is it? The what chamber?
Sacrosanct chamber
opened, and all this anti-death magic stuff came out, and it was cool. And I was playing it, and I'm like, I got to brush up. So I bought all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then, like 6 months later, they get another book, and they're like, here's some dragons. And I was like, nope. You know, I looked at those pictures in those early books. There was, what, seven or eight chambers, and they had, like, two opened, and now they opened another one. And I'm like, there's four. I'm like, I can't keep up. It's why we don't cover the books as in-depth, because for a time there, we did the army book review, like, three times in, like, 16 months.
The Stormcast books.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what? I've read all this. I've talked about all this, and I don't want to just talk about what's changed, because that's not the show, you know? That's other shows. But I also talked about this a few months ago, and I don't want to go over it all again. Like, it was bananas. Right. And that's why I dropped it. This line had more heroes. This line had, I think, it was, what did we say? It was like 38 heroes, I think it was.
Something like that.
There are,
yeah,
you could combine Warhammer's two smallest model count armies, like unit count armies, combine the two smallest, and you would still have more heroes in Stormcast than those two armies had units.
Yeah.
It's.
I mean, I have, on this list, I own
all of
17.
It.
I own 17 of these units.
And but out of 19?
Paint. Yes. Painted,
ready
to go.
Two, three. Oh, I'm sorry. There's 23 listed here.
Yeah, I have 17 of them.
And you know, some of this is obviously being remade. Okay, so there's 23 units here that are going. Liberators are getting remade. We know it. Prosecutors are getting remade. We know it. I'm assuming some of these other guys are getting remade. The named characters going.
I would
Go ahead.
I would imagine their heroes are getting redone in Thunderstrike armor. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, at least some of it. So you could still, yeah. I mean, some of it will come back. And when we find out who those characters are in a few months,
yeah,
hopefully this isn't as painful.
Right.
The entire Sacris, basically, when Second Ed dropped, they dropped a whole bunch of models. Now, halfway through Second Ed, they introduced dragons. So the entire range introduced in Second Ed isn't gone. That statement is false. However, that's semantics. The entire Sacrosanct Chamber is, quote, going back to work on this problem of the reforging, which is where they came from.
Yeah.
You know, but still, that's a lore reason. But, dude, this one bothers me almost more than Beastmen. Like, Beastmen haven't gotten a thing in 10 years except that one model. You kind of knew this was coming. This is the new line.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of models.
It is a lot.
It's Sequiturs and, like I said, I have Evocators.
17 units out of this. Just...
Yeah, sure. The Lordordinator and the Lord Exorcist, the Knight of Zeros. Like, some of these...
Let me think about it a different way.
Uh-huh.
In my current Stormcast armory, the one that I put on the battlefield to play the game with.
Yep.
How many of these units do I actually use? Let me see. One.
Well, and there you go. I think you hit the point as to why they're getting cut.
Three. I use three of these units.
Well, and once again, this is now. And I'm not going to just keep saying, hey, I feel bad. I'm sorry to all you guys who lost models, okay? Because I want to approach this sort of, you know, from a general standpoint, and, you know, I don't want to be callous. Yeah. There's five named characters on this list of 23.
Yeah.
Are they gone, or is it four? Maybe four.
Gabriel, Aventus, Loris, Avent.
Yeah, there's three. Four of them.
Yeah.
So are named characters getting called off to do other jobs? I don't know. But I know a lot of people who
yes.
Here's where it got, where I started to hear from people I know who play this, like just from friends talking to, not stuff online. Mm-hmm. You know as well as I do that a lot of people didn't like Stormcast when they first dropped. You know?
They were too boring. They were too bulky.
Second edition came out. They got magic. They got all this stuff, and a lot of people put into it. So a lot
when I started playing my first army in Age of Sigmar was second edition Stormcast. I'm like,
and
these guys
you
awesome.
Still picked up some libs and some judicators and some you know, everybody picked that stuff up, but you mostly had. So I mean, okay, I was talking with Rotor for one. I think 80% of his army is on this list.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the dragons and stuff he owns, everything he bought was coming in second ed. Now, yeah, he's got libs and he's got 20 sequiturs, 10, 20 sequiturs.
Sure.
Now, what would I do?
When I have 15 evocators.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have three ballistas, 15 evocators, 20 sequiturs, the Knight Heralder, two Knight Vexillers, the Lord Castellan. The Lord Veritan, the Lord Ordinator. I have a unit of, what are they called? The Protectors. I have a unit of Judicators. I have like 20 Liberators.
You know how many Paladins I had?
I have Gavriel. And, I have 16 Castigators.
And see, here's the thing.
I have Astria and the Lord Arcanum on the Demigryph.
Wow.
On the Griff Charger.
So all
and
that's
a Knight and an Errant Quester. I have all that stuff. All painted, all ready to go. But I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm assuming
14 armies. But
I'm assuming a lot of this is going to come back because I already know Liberators are coming back. I'm like, sweet.
Well, out of 23, we can name three for certain, I think. Yeah. Liberators, two. Liberators and Prosecutors.
Yep.
And I'm going to assume Judicators. Like, those are like the three sort of baseline guys, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, but then these other 20, I mean, I just, but
I'm honestly not that bent out of shape about it.
So many people bought all this and then they, you know, and they couldn't play it. And like you said, I mean, you didn't use it, but it still hurts. This model is not old. I think the thing that hurts the most with things is now you start to see, and I see a lot of people doing this in social media. I was looking at it today, and it's like, well, how do I know? You know, I'm looking at my, someone was looking at their Caradron Overlords, and they're like, they could be next. And it's like, I doubt it. And they're like, but no, they don't have a lot of models. And it's like, look, if they did this to their poster boys after less than 10 years, nobody's safe. And I'm like, yes, but nobody else's line is bloated like this.
Yeah.
And this is, honestly, I'm going to put, I am going to state the obvious, completely cold take, because there's nothing hot about take. This is Games Workshop's fault. 100%. Dude, you released at least three lines for these guys in the first two editions.
Yeah.
You had a beautiful first edition. Second edition dropped. You dropped an entire, I mean, you doubled the range practically.
Yeah.
And then less than a year later, you're like, here's some dragons.
I mean, it's why
I stopped. I couldn't keep up. I'm like, I am not buying, because all the new stuff, like you needed a bunch of it.
Yeah.
When I sold off my army, and I only had the first two sets because I didn't buy all the dragons. I was like, no, I'm out. I still had like 200 models.
Yeah.
Almost. I mean, it was over 100 for an elite army.
Yeah. I've got the app open on my phone right now. And it is ridiculous how much stuff they have.
Yeah. And it's crazy. and you overdid it, and now you can't. And it's like, well, we're not even selling a lot of this stuff. Well, no, because you didn't even give it time.
Yeah,
like it was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And
I mean,
this is what happened.
Nothing on this list is in like the new Thunderstrike armor. So,
I mean,
let's look at all the models on this list. They look dated.
They do, and that's part of it. But just an entire line, you couldn't leave any of that stuff. There was nothing to figure out. Okay, you know what? I'm done with that because we're gonna come back
breaking
to some
up
of this.
On me.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? We're gonna come back to some of this because they're showing some of the new war scrolls, and they show a Liberator war scroll, and I saw some comments on that, and I thought that would be something interesting to come back to talk about later in the show. But this is an interesting thing. So I was talking with Roeder, and like I said, he lost 80% of his army in this. So he's like, ugh, I don't know if I want. And his thing was, do I want to rebuild this with what I have left, or do I just want to? And I think he's waiting to see what the new, because he's still got a Seraphon army. So I think he's literally now he's in a holding pattern. And nobody wants to play or do anything with that until they know what's going on. So
I noticed a lot of people are just kind of like, we don't even know if we want to play Age of Sigmar 3rd edition right now. It's the 4th is coming out, and everyone's all excited about it.
And why wouldn't you be excited about it? I mean, there's all sorts of new cool stuff coming out, and they're showing you all the changes, and you're just like, okay, why am I? You know, and part of it is no one wants to pick up or learn something new right now.
Yeah,
I don't want to try anything new because it's going to be invalid in a couple of months, right?
Right.
So here's what I was talking about with Roeder, and here was his idea, and I thought it was great, and I would have loved to have seen this. And it's not like it's not like this is a brand new idea, but I just hadn't thought about it in this way.
Okay.
And so what Roeder was talking about was, instead of having them just deleting them like this, tell everybody that they're going away for now. You can still eliminate the models and let them use them as counts as. What he said and what he would have loved to have seen, because this was his beef the entire time, was you got a bunch of models and like the different synergies and stuff didn't always match up. So, like, if you went with a lot of those fast guys, you know, the little Chocobo riders riding the wind that all came with, what's her name?
Yeah, the Paladors.
Yeah, he had a lot of that stuff, you know? And
they're still in there.
They're still in there, yeah. But if you're playing with a lot of these things, they don't... It's like they were never really great. They didn't have a ton of synergy, and if they did, it was only between a couple of models. And so there was some issues with that. He was always wanting to see, like, okay, so if you're playing in this storm host or if you're playing this type of thing, you know, that sort of, you know, unlocks little bonuses, different ways. And, you know, like, they've got them. They're using them now, the little armies of renown and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think you remember they used to, in, like, AOS 2, they had the battalions, right, where you could, like, if you put your models into those certain... Are they called battalions?
They were battalions. And if you put them into their... Like, yeah, you had Storm Strike Battalion. You had a...
Yeah. It unlocked certain abilities.
Excuse me. Oh, goodness. Hold on. Sorry.
And the problem with those...
My water went down the wrong pipe. I'm dying right now. Give me a second. Let me stop dying. Okay. But yeah, you'd unlock stuff, and you'd have to have. But that was you had to have a certain number. You had to have this model, and 2 units of 10 of this,
right?
Why not?
And some were way more powerful than others, and
unbalanced why not game. Take them away, and then so you release 4th edition, and you release Stormcast Eternals,
yeah,
and you have your Stormcast Eternals list, and you have your models in it. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a few months you come out with a supplement. You come out with a supplement, Anvils of the Helden Hammer, or you come out with a supplement, you know, X Chamber, whatever it is. Like, I don't know how you'd categorize it.
Yeah.
But then you're like, look, and then you could bring these guys in. They can come in as almost, and I don't want, look, we know.
Could be like an army, like a regiment of renown, the Sacrosanct Chamber. Boom.
Yeah, like a regiment of renown or an army of renown that they've been doing, like they've been showing us these things. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't like the comparisons. I don't use the term Sigmarines because I'm not an infant. But we all know that these are, this is the Space Marines of AOS. It is. It's the big poster boys. It's the army of the Emperor or, God King Sigmar, God Emperor, whatever. You've got his guys. Why not take these lines that are a little bloated that you're going to have less of and then pull them like you need to get your stuff together. Look, they've got production issues. Pull these guys for a while. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But maybe in a year or whatever, once you've got your stuff moving, you know, they have those specialty books for Marines. Like you can get the Space Wolves. You know, there's the basic Astartes, and then there's I'm not saying we need legions, but they could put those out. Oh, here's your Sacrosanct, or here's your this chamber, or here's your this. These are the Hallowed Knights are coming out, or who are the the Vanguard Palador? Like those, like you can put out a thing, give them bonuses, give them a reason to be played. You know, and then you can pull them now. Look, this is your core Stormcast stuff. We have rules for these guys, but they're not in the core Stormcast. And then in a year, when those rules go to Legends, that's when you start bringing out specific.
I feel like if they're going to do something like that, they do like an army of renown or regiment of renown, and they would just release it in White Dwarf.
But you don't have to put it in the Stormcast book.
No, it'd be in like a White Dwarf or something,
right. Or even you can have. A book just, you know, you could have, even if you did one book, the chamber, you know, the different chambers or the different parts of Sigmar, you know, the Sigmar's armies or something like that. Put it all out in one, you got all these different things.
Yeah.
But then you have to re-release everything all at once. You can do it in phases if you bring in different books, different ideas. They're doing this all the time. I mean, I think one of the biggest changes from fantasy to Age of Sigmar is the constant reimagining of rules and data sheets and coming out with the General's Handbook and new places and plays and ways to play. They're constantly changing. You don't need to say this army's going, this line's going away basically forever. Yeah.
Well, they can get away with that too just because of modern technology. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If we had had, you know, I guess like social media and like, you know, the websites and all that stuff, and maybe 8th edition Warhammer would have been different. You know, maybe we wouldn't have to have waited for so long. Let's face it,
we had that stuff on the internet because we were still talking all the leaks and stuff. Games Workshop didn't join the 2000s until 2010.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean,
they didn't do anything, and they didn't know how to handle it, and they shut it down instantly as soon as they got trolls.
It was like a cesspool.
It was terrible.
It was really bad.
Just basically, they had a place there, and every troll in the world went there, and they didn't have anybody that they were like paying to just take care of that. And
yeah, there's no moderators.
It got ugly fast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing really else to say about this other than I hope some of these come back. I would have loved to have seen some of them. But I mean, Beast is gone. I mean, it's gone to the old world, but it's, as far as we're concerned with AOS, it's gone. And like I said, this is the Stormcast part is the hardest part for me to even talk about because this had to be done.
You've been saying it for a long time.
Yes, it's been my biggest complaint about this army. I love this army, and I hate this army, and this is why I hate this army. And this had to get done. And you know, and here I am reading all of this stuff, going, ugh, it had to be done. There was no, I don't know. I mean, I would have loved if they would have said, hey, we're taking them away. You can still play with them, but eventually we're going to try to come back. They're just not in it right now. Like, there's just no place for them.
They pretty much are saying that, right? It's like you have a year to play these guys. So
yeah, well, and you have the whole edition. I mean, they did say in that one line, and once again, the literature, the grammar, the composition teacher in me cringes when I read this article because it does say, we'll continue to support it. It'll go to Legends, but then there's another line like two sentences later says, we will continue to support this throughout the edition. You know? But when they go to Legends is when we're never going to touch them again. So which is it? Like, if they're going to support them for the next 3 years and at least keep everything current with what's going on so that they don't become completely unusable, then you got 3 years and this becomes a weird Space Marine sort of thing again where they change up the Marines.
Well,
I mean, there's no easy way to do this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that comparison is they actually didn't get rid of any of the Marines.
No, they just took them all. Well, I mean, now haven't they done some culling of the Space Marine line? People keep saying that this.
No, there's still tactical Marines. I mean, they did a very small amount. I thought
most of that TAC stuff just went over to 30K. But
no. No, they have tactical Marines in the current stuff.
Is there any difference between them and Primaris? Because Primaris aren't called Primaris anymore, are they? I thought they're just called.
They are. I think they are called Primaris Marines. They have the Primaris keyword, and tactical Marines they don't.
Oh my God! Okay,
but they have different. They have different weapons and different loadouts.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought the more modern stuff, they kind of cleared all that out for the most part. But I don't know because I haven't played. So,
right? No, that's not. They still got it.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they did get rid of a couple things. Like something. There's some like assault marine units that are a little different. But you can, you know.
What do you?
Yeah, like the I think the assault marine, just the tactical marine with the jump pack. That guy's gone. But you can play him as a Vanguard veteran, so it doesn't matter.
Whatever. That okay.
A Vanguard veteran with a jump back.
I withdraw the question. I don't care. Okay. All right. We got to take another
40K
break.
Podcast.
It's not even that. I mean, we talk that stuff. Let me put it this way. If Games Workshop makes it, it's pretty much fair game for the show, at least in some part, whether it's a garage game or this. But I just don't care about what Space Marines are here and what aren't. I'm still trying to deal with these guys here. So let's take a break. Let's come back and let's talk all the new stuff, the cool stuff that we've been hearing about.
Yes.
4th edition. Hooray. Age of Sigmar.
Let's go. Let's go.
Are you finally looking to start your rebasing project?
Six Squared Studios.
Are you looking for some new and interesting resin terrain?
Six Squared Studios.
Are you looking for some fancy acrylic counters to keep track of wounds or maybe some other statistical anomalies?
Six Squared Studios.
Maybe you need a new rack for your paint?
Six Squared Studios.
Well, then look no further. What you need is Six Squared Studios. They ship worldwide with domestic shipping for both the U.S. and Canada.
Six Squared Studios.
That's right. Six Squared Studios. That's the number six, squaredstudios.ca. When your gaming needs go beyond your basic dice, tape measure, models, and paints, think Six Squared Studios. Six Squared Studios. Now all your base are belong from them. And we're back. Here we are. Okay, everybody.
Hello.
Okay, now let's talk some fun. We got another two segments here, and we're going to start talking about AOS 4. Ground up rebuild. And this is actually kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris, we've got all of this stuff from all the articles. We've compiled all their articles together, so we've got all this info here. And I've just sort of got them in the order they released them. I did in the beginning of the show, the opening little read was from their first talk about what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
So core rules have been reforged for the first time since the first edition, back in 2015. That's right. 9 years. It'll be 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. 2015, 2018 was second. 2021 was third, and now here we are going into 2024 with our fourth edition.
Amazing.
It's now how they describe it. It's the Age of Sigmar you all know and love, with all the friction taken out cleanly and smartly. Tactical and strategic nuance, driven by a real desire for the background to show up through on the tabletop. A show through on the tabletop. The rules are modular, meaning that you've got a basic set of core rules, and then each little set can get added in, which makes it easy for them to add and remove things because it has to do with that particular section, and they've color-coded things and all this. Now,
if you're familiar with 40K 10th edition, it's exactly what they did.
Is 40K color-coded?
Yes.
It is. Okay. I really haven't done any. I when the new edition came out, I built some Tyranids, and I have no one to play with, and I haven't got it all painted.
I'm sitting right here.
But yeah, but no. When you and I play, we play Aegis. We have something to do. Like, we have AOS stuff to cover. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm gonna play, like, you know, like I don't. There's no. We don't have a 40K group. I have an AOS group, and some of the guys play 40K. But like when we get together, when we have time to get together, we've got to play AOS.
Maybe we'll play 40K. Waiting for fourth edition to come out.
You know what? Honestly, that wouldn't be a bad idea. If you want to teach me stuff, I'll learn. I'll be happy to learn. I've got some Tyranids. I'll give you a list of what I got. You help me write up a list and teach me how to play. Let's do that. Because honestly, yeah, I'm waiting for fourth just like you. But I haven't had like I've talked to Chris Yu, but his kid does travel hockey, so he's never home. And like, you know, yeah, I haven't avoided playing 40K with you. Whenever we're going to get together to game, it's like, hey, we got to try this new thing for the show. So that's why.
Yeah.
So I know nothing. But so here, so they've got match play. They got Path to Glory. And now they're going to have Spearhead. Now, they did talk about Spearhead. So the Vanguard boxes are going to be relabeled, apparently, Spearhead boxes.
Right.
And it says you can play like the Spearhead. You could play with that box. Okay.
It's kind of like if you're familiar with 40K Combat Patrol, it's the same thing.
Is Combat Patrol good though?
Yes.
Is it? Okay. I heard a couple of people who said that they didn't, they're like, why am I playing this? Why am I not just playing regular 40K? And
it's fun.
Is it fun? Okay, cool.
Oh yeah. It's great. It's meant for people who don't play, you know, who want to play 40K but don't have
the collection or the time to play 2,000 points. You know?
See, because that's and, what I, yeah, that's what's cool about this. That takes
it takes the list building. It takes the list building out of it, so you don't have to stress out about it.
Right, you just play what's in the it's what's in the box now.
Play what's in the box, and the and there's balanced against each other, so you know you're gonna have a good game based on the people playing it, not on the lists you've created. You know.
Yeah, and so I'm reading this here, and it says, it takes advantage of the modular core rules to introduce a unique tactical spin. The design studios love it, and it's become one of the most popular games to play in lunch hour. First of all, they work there all day, and then they play the game on their lunch, too. That's bananas. But
yeah,
I would think you'd want a break. But so they're playing on their lunch, but it sounds like this game is good to play in a lunchtime.
Takes you know? An hour.
And you're playing the core rules, which I think is cool. It take you're playing the... So if you... play some Spearhead, you know how to play Age of Sigmar, basically.
Right.
And I think that's great. Plus, this is a... Okay, so it's a great... It sounds like it's going to be a great way to get people into the game. Here's this...
Because you just... Here, buy this one box of stuff. Boop.
Yep.
Assemble it and immediately play.
Right. So this one box is everything you need to play the core, basic Age of Sigmar rules and learn the game. And if you like it... We can expand from there. How many times have we talked over the past 14 years we've been doing this about when you're introducing someone new and how much of the game do you drop? Because you can't drop all the rules. So maybe we keep magic out. No wizards in the first game. Learn how to do this. Then we add, you know, or, you know, you start off with no shooting. You just have infantry units and then you add in some shootings. And then, you add, you know, you kind of play it in small ways like this to teach someone the game if they're new to gaming. Right. You don't have to do that. They've got it all set up in an easy way to learn because if it's modular, it looks like there's no magic because I'm looking at the modules that they explain to us. You know, terrain, magic, army composition, command models, and battle tactics. And so you got, you know, a lot of that pulled. So you got some basic rules in there, and then you learn the basic mechanics. It sounds like it could be fun. Tune in for the coming months to learn. Let's see. Enough depth and twist to provide endless replayability. We'll have more to say in the future. I could have sworn they said more about this at some point because they said something about maybe was that in the video they talked about playing this a little bit because I thought this is it's not going to be like Underworlds or Warcry, but I thought there was going to be something else like cards or pieces or something with this that like I don't know. I thought
I don't remember.
So here's what's changing in the new edition. And so they start talking about over the next few months, they'll be going through tweaks, changes, and upgrades. We'll be looking at the main rules, the exciting streamlined spearhead mode, and how every one of your beloved factions are evolving. All right. So what are the modular rules and what do they mean for you? So this stuff's been out for a week or two. And if you are connected to the internet, you've probably heard all this already. Unless we're your main source for Age of Sigmar news, and that's kind of sad. So the new Age of Sigmar has been revealed with a totally fresh look to the core rules, featuring refinements and tweaks to make the greatest fantasy miniatures game even better. It's core rules and advanced rules. Okay, core rules cover moving, fighting, shooting, unit coherency, and everything else to play a simple battle from start to finish with objectives and terrain. Yeah, see, that's there you go. Advanced rules cover commands, terrain, magic, army composition, command models, and battle tactics. Command models are, because they talked about that a little bit in one of these articles. That's like your the command unit, your champion, musician, and...
Music and banners and stuff like that.
As any experienced player will tell you, these are vital for in-depth games. So what makes them modular?
Modular.
Rules have been structured in a modular manner. It says Ben, the product. Ben, is that Ben Johnson? Because he's the guy in the videos.
Johnson.
It is Ben Johnson.
That's Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
You can learn and play the game core rules, and then when you need them, you can go on to learn the advanced rules. You can even leave them out completely if you want to. Some battle packs will require them. It's all part of making the game that's existing players love accessible to newer players. This is a great idea. So you could, okay, when we played last time we played, we said, can we skip the GHB? We did not want to play the Wild Magic.
No, so we didn't want to do any primal dice or any of that stuff. We just didn't use it. Yeah.
In this game, you could literally, I suppose, and this is what they're saying here, unless the battle plan calls for something specifically, unless it calls for something specifically, you could just be like, you know what, I don't want to play magic. Can we just leave the magic out of it? Like, can we just not play magic? And you could totally do that because he just said it's totally modular.
Mm-hmm. We're playing in the, for some reason, we can't use shooting, so we're not going to do it. I don't know. Is that part of the, is that a module? I don't know.
Is shooting is like, not modular. It says here.
Shooting's not modular. Okay.
No, no. What you get, what did it say in the core rules? They covered what we just, hold on, I flipped the page here. Basic rules are moving, fighting, shooting, coherency, and objective, how you play with, you know, with objectives, some objectives and terrain. Advanced rule is commands, terrain rules, magic, army comp, command models, and battle tactics. So that's pretty interesting that you can break it up that way. I really think that's great.
No, it's gonna be pretty cool. It's gonna be, and I think if you're playing 40K, it's gonna be easy to slide into this.
But it's interesting, and for me, it's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at this. Think about
teaching the game to like the people at Warhammer Club at your
exactly. Yeah. If you can play Spearhead, and it's just that box, okay. So it's like a start collecting box, and the ones they got at GW's right now. I was looking at some of the Vanguard. They're about $140.
Yeah, so it's I'm looking at the Stormcast one right now.
Yeah, they're not cheap, but I'm okay. Here's me trying to think of all the positives, right? Trying to think of all the cool stuff. Maybe I want to try out Idneth Deepkin. I don't want to buy a whole armor,
sure,
but I can buy a Spearhead box. I can play Spearhead, get a basic feel. Do I like this? Do I want this? Do I want to go farther with this? You know, this is how they get you to try a new army.
Oh, absolutely!
This is the first taste of the plastic crack for your new army with this. Okay, but it's also the first taste of the of the game in general for people. Mm-hmm. And if you're keeping it to the real basics, then it's going to be easy to teach. Like, you know who I'm excited for this about? Harrison.
Oh, sure.
He wants to play. He's been up, like, I've been showing him all the, whenever there's a community thing drops a page, I copy and paste the link for him. I'm like, read this.
Yeah.
He's excited about fourth, and he's definitely like, whatever, and we've got enough models. I'm 99% certain.
You probably already have the Lumineth Vanguard.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever's in the Lumineth Spearhead, if there's different rules or anything you need, special things, I may have, you know, that. This is the one thing I'm concerned about. Is it just models in a Spearhead box, or are there special rules? Because they're talking about that stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
So
I don't know.
I need to buy the Spearhead box even if I have the models to get there? I'm assuming no. I'm assuming that's crazy.
Right. But it would come with the rules in the box to play the game.
Right. But so if we have Spearhead and he can play that and get to know the basic rules, because that's always been his thing, is just like, even trying in second edition, it's like, okay, you have this rule and this, and you have these commands, and you have all this stuff, and I'm putting all this stuff together for him, and he's it is overwhelming if you're coming into it new.
Mm-hmm.
And
I could
he
see that.
Basically is, because he played High Elves.
In 8th edition.
In 8th edition, and he played whatever rules they had for them. When Age of Sigmar started, and when they weren't getting rules, when high elves were not going to be a thing, he stopped playing.
Okay, gotcha.
And he liked the Realm Lords, and he bought Realm Lords, and he got a bunch of them, and he started to play a bit, and it was kind of confusing, and it just kind of, he got kind of bored, because it was too much, it was kind of overwhelming. So, I'm excited about this, because I really believe, at the very least, he's going to want to play some Spearhead. And I think once he
I like the fact that they're designed to fight each other. They like design, you know what I mean? So it just takes the list building part out of it, which I know is a big stressor.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, Like, yeah, I swear to, like, 75% of the posts I see on, like, the army-centric, like, Facebook groups is all about, I'm trying to build this army. What should I build? What's the most effective list? What's this what's the most effective thing to bring? Blah, 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 blah. My thing is always, like, just bring whatever you want. But, you know, people are, but you know, they want to bring the most effective things to the games because they don't want to get slaughtered by their friends.
There's
you know?
Nothing wrong with that. I was talking with people at Gen Con, and there's I was talking with Daniel Stupar not at Gen Con, at Adepticon. He was there with his dad. Mm-hmm. They're Patreon patrons, and they were like, we were playing a game of Blood Bowl, and I'm like, listen. I know I don't play this that often, and I'm not 100% certain. I'm going to have questions. I'm like, but don't feel like you got to take your foot off the gas for me. Like, I've played it. I'm like, you know, don't. And he's like, oh, no, no. He's like, yeah, I grew up with my dad. You never take your foot off the gas. That's how you learn how to play better. And I'm like, good. Yeah. You know, that's. And I feel like this is a way. I don't know. I'm just really excited about it.
It's a cool way to play the game that, you know, you just build this box, bring it to the Games Workshop store, and you play against somebody else you don't know. You know you're going to have a good balanced game with this person because you're just playing spearhead. It's against each other. You don't have to worry about
because they did say that in the video, didn't they? They're trying to keep these things balanced against each other.
Absolutely.
For the spearheads.
That's the whole point.
Then, you know, what's good, like I said, that was the whole point of my whole not taking a foot off the gas. Look, I get it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take crummy things, and there are groups that do that, and that's, you know, those are legitimate questions. But I feel like a lot of times the start collecting boxes didn't feel like they had the stuff you really wanted to collect. Like, you had some of the basics, but not this. I'm hoping this is a little more focused and a little more like, this is something I really want to start my army with.
Sure. Like the Lumineth one is, looks like it's 10 of the bowmen, 10 of the spear guys. Looks like there's what's their name? It's the one model with the veil on.
Oh, and the Sonari Cathalar,
The Cathalar, then some of the Blade Lord guys. And it looks like there's some kind of a leader in there. I don't know who that dude is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice little start right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know,
well, we have it then. So I know Harrison has it. So once this comes out, if there's rules, if the rules are listed for all these things, they do, I'm jazzed to give this a try. I really am. Okay. So back to this sort of Age of Sigmar-y stuff. Wait, I did find it on this page. Here we go. Mm-hmm. With modular rules, you only need to. Rules have been built in the modularity. You can play with the core rules when you need them. You can ants. You can even leave stuff out. We kind of went off there. Modularity is born from the idea that Warhammer Age of Sigmar is much more than a game. It's essentially a platform that supports many types of games. People play Age of Sigmar as a narrative experience, a competitive tournament, all size ranges and mega battles and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah. With modular rules, you only need to read the rules necessary to play the type of game you want. To play Spearhead, all you need is the core rules and no advanced rules. Everything else is covered in Spearhead Battle Pack with War Scroll cards and unique cards that Spearhead uses. I knew I read something that said they had cards.
Yeah. So the Stormcast one will have special rules for the models in that box.
It can only be, how many cards can it be? There's three different models or four different types of models in the box, right?
Yeah.
But there's going to be some sort of cards and stuff for them, and that's what I'm, you know, hoping that I can get a hold of that and get going. So it's all plug and play, which has serious implications, it says, for the future of the game. It goes into talking about the General's Handbook. You know, each focuses on a unique thing. The new modular structure provides a clean and clear way of implementing such things. It's set in, you know, like now we're in Andor with the magic thing. How will modularity impact this? We could simply replace the magic module with the Magic of Andor module. Just say, okay, this replaces that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just do it that way easily. And it's modular. It's basically, you don't have to do add-ons. You can just say, don't use this mod, this, you know, Mm-hmm. And because all the modules are color-coded, like the magic phase is blue,
right?
Then you could just release this Antor thing and just drop it in blue and be like, this replaces the current basic blue.
Yeah,
that makes
sense.
You could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems kind of crazy. And how the actual logistics of that would work, I don't know. But I also haven't given it any thought. That's not my gig. So we'll see how it comes out. But once again, there's so many. Here, if we find during the course of a seasonal match play that the economy of command points isn't quite right, we don't need to issue an errata online. We could just have a new general's handbook with a new command module that is thematically resonant and helps evolve internal balance. If we want to bring that advanced rules module back in the future, we can.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't saying they don't need to put out an errata. I don't want to buy a general's handbook every time they decide to change something. There's a good reason for the errata and the and dropping.
Well, what they would do is they would be like, you know, the battle tactics part of this, you know, of this general's handbook are not good. So we're just scrapping that one and we're going to release just this new module. Yeah. We're only replacing the, you know, the command, the battle tactics portion of the general's handbook.
You still think that would be up online under the FAQs and errata when they're changing stuff?
Absolutely.
That might be something that was misspoken, as we don't have to put, you know, we can do that. I like this idea. I'm all for it. I'm for giving it a shot, you know?
For sure.
Like I said, I am one of the people who does feel that third edition feels a bit bloated. There are things I forget. There are things. There's a lot of bookkeeping for me, in my opinion. For this
in
game.
The games right
yeah.
now,
and yeah. I'm hoping that's because that's what it seems like they're trying to do is sort of streamline and clear up some, especially with those War Scrolls. We're gonna get to that, but boy, boy.
I mean, I'm thinking about the stuff you have to keep track of right now. I mean, it's like primal dice. It's command points, and they're different for if you're going first or second, you get different numbers.
Yep. It's like, oh, boy.
And then you got to keep track of victory points, and then you got to keep track. You know, it's like, oof. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy. There is a lot, and I found that, you've got those little, they're about the size of an address label.
Yeah,
but they're
the dry erase little they're
dry
like
erase
little
things. To slap them next to all these units, and boy, were we using them!
Oh yeah, I mean I've had games where you've got like six or seven of them out there because
and
this,
so
you
have
cast
that.
Spell,
and what do I keep doing? I keep ordering custom freaking tokens from Six Squared Studios. It's like, oh, and I've got so, and then they become useless later, but I've got a bunch of plus ones to hit here or minus ones to this or plus that or minus that.
Right.
And it's just like, and then the things change and I have all these tokens that mean nothing now, you know?
My friend, a guy I was playing with, Sean, he was using those. I'm like, those are awesome. Where'd you get those? He's like, just Amazon. just sent me the link.
They're great.
Got them, you know?
They're great. Yeah. I'm going to have to order some. So I just so let's see. What else? The potential is huge. It helps clearly delineate certain aspects of the rules for beginners and experienced players. So now we're going to look at next is the priority roll. Woo-wee.
Yes.
Love me some priority roll. Okay. So basically, first player to set up chooses who goes first. Okay.
Yep.
When you make a priority roll, whoever's highest wins, tie goes to the first player in the previous round. So they get to decide if it stays or not. So you have to actually win the roll from your opponent if you're going second.
Yeah.
Now they talk about this too. Now we know that this is a very
contentious.
Yeah, a lot of people hate it. I love it. I absolutely love
I don't
it.
Mind it.
I don't mind it at all. Is it difficult to plan for it at times? Yep. Do you take those calculated risks? Yep. You know, I see a lot of people saying, I'm going to sit for 35 minutes now and not do anything. I'm like, there's a lot to do. Like, there's commands to be given. There's roles to be made. Like, it's interactive. You're not choosing off the bat, you know.
I mean, maybe a couple of editions ago, you did just kind of sit there. But now you can, like, you react in your opponent's turn with, you know, with reform or, redeploys and unleash hell and
right.
All that stuff. All out defensing and all out attacking in the, you know, there's all kinds of, it's better than it was. Let's just put it that way. I think it is.
So it's here for the new edition.
They're making this even more interesting now.
Yeah, what they said here is the balance between risk and reward has become more finely tuned. Now in matched play battle packs, when you choose to take a double turn, you give up your opportunity to pick a battle tactic for that turn. Yeah. So battle tactics are 2 points, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what the that's points. That's victory points, right?
Yeah, right now they're worth 2 points, right?
But so if I take a double turn, I don't. So I go second. I do my battle tactic. I get my battle tactic.
Mm-hmm.
I win the double turn. I go. I don't get to pick one this turn. So I'm down 2 points or whatever.
Yeah. You essentially drop a battle tactic.
Yeah.
Which, as we know right now, if you drop a battle tactic in a competitive game of Tournament Warhammer, you're probably going to lose.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
That's because that's going to at least make you think.
Right. Unless you're only going to take it. I mean, if you can, like, you're going to have to pretty much, like, I'm going to do this, and I'm pretty much just going to knock my opponent out of the game if I get this double turn.
Or
that's about the only. Yeah.
But remember also, if this goes on a lot of if it's victory point things, there have been times I've wiped my opponent out and lost the game.
Sure.
You know, so it depends that way. Are you far out enough ahead where you need it? Or, you know, do you want to sit there, you know, and sort of and hold off? You know, I think you'd see with this, at the very least, a lot fewer turn or battle round one into battle round two double turns.
Yeah, I would imagine that.
Why would I double turn you at the top of the game? It would have to be decisive. It would have to be that the flow of the battle went to the point where this is the point where I have an opportunity to strike a killing blow and end this game, which is what it kind of should be. It becomes more tactical and not just automatic.
Yeah, I could see double turning like 4 into 5. Yeah, you know, you've waited the whole game,
or even just going 3 into 4. Like whenever you've got the opportunity, but you've got to end the game with it, because if you don't, I mean, maybe you don't. I'm talking out of my backside. Yeah. I don't know. You know,
but we don't know what it's going to be like. But I think that's going to be a big deal.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and what do they say here? It says this, and this is from Matt, the lead game developer. I think the priority role and the potential for a double turn can create a really cool and dynamic outcomes where you can't predict the flow of a game. You can't count out each player's moves and simply as a straightforward you go, I go. It's a wonderful possibility space. It may seem like an obvious advantage, but it's important to consider that many defensive abilities last until your next turn.
Right.
That is true. I've had stuff.
A lot of times, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If it goes to the start of your next turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got
all my buffs up. I've got Mystic Shield cast. I've got all these other debuffs on you. I've got everything's up right now. I'm going to go again and hopefully.
And all that goes away.
Also,
I've been double turned where I have cast a bunch of magic that goes until the start of my next hero phase, and all that stuff stretched out for that extra time. Sometimes it was not too bad to have that extra stretch.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like you want to get double turned. Oh, look, that's longer. But if you're silver lining it, I've had that stuff be really helpful.
Absolutely.
So, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, there's not really any game that I can. And I don't, maybe I just don't play enough different war games, but that's a pretty unique rule as far as I can tell. The double turn.
Oh, the double turn is unique, and it's like I said. That's what people get mad. get rid of that and just go to alternating activations. Alternating activations is not the same as the double turn. And you can say, yes, it's better. And I say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of
I like the way Shatterpoint goes with like the cards, the priority cards, where you just put it into a pool and it's like, this unit goes, this unit goes. Oh, now I'm doing two units in a row.
That's one of the biggest complaints of people who play Shatterpoint.
Is it really?
Yes. Or the people who play it and decide they don't like it is you don't get to pick, you don't have that much control over which unit goes.
I think that's the best part about that
you're
game.
You're stuck with the ebb and flow of the force. I love it. No, I love it. You know, I love everything about that game. So no, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy that.
I got to call.
Because there's like a point of tension there. You're like, oh my God. Like if What's I have happening? These, this,
do I spend
if this it? Unit, go, if this unit goes next, like this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, but sometimes you pull that card and you're like, I don't want them to go yet, so am I going to spend that force point and move them off to see what's... there's a lot of cool stuff with that.
Yeah.
I just got a call from Grodnar. It's my Fear and Dead Men pack is in, so I'm getting the Vader with the Stormtroopers pack.
Okay.
But that's not this.
do you look at Twitter at all?
Sometimes. Warhammer, not really.
You know Joe Sloboda, right?
Yeah.
So he's been posting up his Ewoks on Twitter. They are gorgeous. They're so awesome. My gosh.
I've seen it played. I was watching some battle reports. It looks like fun. Like if you just want to play Murder Bears, they're like they're terrible, but there's a million of them. And I'm like, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Now there is a part in this article where they say one of them says that they ask the competitive players, play testers, and influencers what they would change about the game. And the number one answer about the changes, don't change the double turn. That's a bold statement.
Yeah.
But I would agree that while I'm not saying that everybody's screaming, don't remove the double turn.
You and I talked about this when... before third edition came out.
Yep.
And we said, you know, what's the one thing that we don't want to change? And we both said double turn. Don't change it. It's what makes Age of Sigmar.
I think part of what the reason we said that is because we know so many people would say get rid of it. Because there's a lot of people. Yeah. It's one thing I'm like, no, don't.
It's what makes the game what it is.
It is. It's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, do I constantly get burned by it? Yes. Is it annoying when it happens to you?
Now, here's an interesting last line in this article.
But this battle tactic thing is going to make it different. It's going to be cool.
We'll soon be able to share more details on the other changes that will form your tactics and strategies, from command points to scoring to the new underdog mechanic.
Yeah.
All right, what's this? I mean, I'm assuming if you're the underdog, it means you're losing or you have less points or something.
Right.
And
or something.
So there's going to be a mechanic, something that helps that person?
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows, right?
All right.
Maybe you get to pick two battle tactics in your turn. Maybe you get to...
Whatever defines an underdog, maybe you get... Okay, who knows?
Yeah.
All right, so let's... Let's move to the next article, and there's only, I think, three left. We'll do this next one, how building your army has changed, and then we'll take our last break, and then we'll talk about Anatomy of a War Scroll stuff, because that's the thing I want to jump into. That's where it gets cool, and we'll do that as the last segment. So, okay, how building your army has changed. So, you have to have one leader and three battle lines, and there's, you know, You know how to build an army for AOS. If you're listening to the show, I'm assuming you got to have X amount of these, and then there's limits on those.
You need a general and three battle line units to play.
Yes, and then there's other things you can take, but there are limits to what you can do.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have battle regiments and the one drop. So as the player who finishes setting up first gets the option on who takes the first turn. The minimum drops is like the biggest thing in building your army list right now, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The new edition maintains the incentive to get done first, but takes a new route. And it says it's going to emphasize flavor and flexibility. We'll see. Armies have regiments, one or more regiments. One to five regiments. Okay? Each regiment is led by a single hero and can include up to three other units. Can include up to three other units. Or four if it's your general's regiment. They show a little picture here. So it's one hero and then zero to three non-hero units. Like I said, four if it's the general. And then it does say in the little box here, some hero units allow the addition of extra heroes to their regiment. And one of the article, I think one of the, Slaves to Darkness, your general can have his
gore chosen.
So a guy can pick. Now, what is interesting is as we get into this, and then we'll talk about list building because it is kind of crazy. Now, it does say it's looking for, what did I call it? Flavor and flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
The list building opportunities are much wider, but there are some things that seem a little less flexible, but possibly a little more flavorful. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you can only have a maximum of five regiments. Technically, you could have five regiments that have five heroes, and that's your game.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, that's what you could have. If you have all the points, because...
I mean, you can kind of do that now, depending on the list,
right?
Well,
no, you need three battle line units, though.
Well, if you're playing Sylvaneth and you play Oakenbrow, you could just have five Tree Lords.
Oh, okay. So there.
You know what I mean?
So you can still do that.
Yeah.
All right. Or I suppose Gargants, Mega Gargants. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but then it says, hero... can include this, blah, blah. Every hero lists units which can be included in their regiment.
Yeah.
So your hero unlocks certain units. So maybe I want a unit, but what if I want a unit that's not unlocked by that hero? See, it's kind of forcing you into a way. But it keeps it thematic. Well, then the example here is the Venari Banner Blade can include Venaris, but the Stone Mage wants to have all the Alarith Stone units, which makes... total sense because their current war scrolls, they're designed to go together, you know.
Yeah.
But they can also have the wardens because the wardens are,
that's the basic unit, right?
Yeah. But then Teclis can take anyone. So if you want to take anyone in your battalion, then you're going to take some of these big fancy characters. So there's maybe an incentive to take more of the big characters or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
Every unit within the regiment deploys as a single drop.
Yeah.
So if you were playing the five hero hammer, that's a five drop army, which is the most drops it seems like you can get in this basic setup here. Reinforcements are army wide, but only one per unit.
Yeah.
So you can double the size, but no longer triple the size.
Yeah.
Which I don't have beef with.
Yeah, I only really do that in a couple of lists. So.
I like to play Horde armies. I did it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I run 30 skeletons, and I won't be able to do that anymore.
Nope.
Not as one unit.
But. No, but I would run a billion zombies, or I would run a ton of chain rasps, you know.
Oh, sure. Units. Yeah, yeah. Units of 40. Yeah, that kind of thing.
So now you can only double them, and that's fine. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, but there are no battlefield roles. They've really...
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Great. No. You don't have to worry about battle line, behemoths, or artillery. Okay. Once you've got the hero as your general, you have flexibility. Go, you were saying?
So in the example, it says if you want to build a list that's just a single hero and a swarm of doom wheels, go for it.
Okay, but that's where the auxiliary units comes in. That's our next thing. Okay, so if you don't, I pick a hero and the hero doesn't unlock doom wheels. So I can't put any Doom Wheels in that unit. But that's all I want is Doom Wheels.
Yeah.
I'll just take 10 Doom Wheels. Go for it. Now, it says here, those are listed now as auxiliary units. Auxiliary units offer a way to pick additional units from your faction outside of the confines of a regiment. There's no limit to how many you can take, but there's a cost. Each auxiliary unit is its own drop, so you can't combine those at all. So now you're adding drops. So if you break the regiment's section, there's more chance that your opponent is going to get to choose who goes first.
Yeah. And then
But more importantly, the player with the fewest auxiliaries in their roster gets an extra command point at the start of each battle round.
Yeah.
So, and now it says they're scarce before. That's 5 extra command points per game.
Yeah. Is this, it says these are a crucial resource in the new edition and scarcer than before.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then the next line says command points are a scarce resource in this edition. I don't know if it's scarce. No, it is scarcer.
I think it's
more correct than more scarce, but it's.
Are you sure? I was going to ask the English teacher.
I don't know. It may be. I don't have my book with me. Go to dictionary.com.
And are more scarce than before.
Hold on. Now I'm going to open my dictionary app because you're going to make me do this on the air.
I've looked at this sentence many times reading this article, and it's bugged me for
scarce.
A while. Scarce. Scarce is a word.
Yes.
More scarce
than adjective. Before. Scarcer, scarcest. It is correct.
Is it?
I just read it.
Can you say more scarce than before, though?
You could, but grammatically, it's scarcer and scarcest. I just looked in the dictionary. Let's not do this. I'm not claiming authority. I'm saying I read it from something that claims authority. Let's move on with the command points. Right. They are a scarce resource. There isn't a single war scroll or faction ability that gives you additional points. Boom. That's nuts. And the pessimist is going to be like, for now.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know, but I'm going to just go with what's on the page here. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like the new kind of rules team, they're going to be sticking to their guns in this. I think.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, because everything sounds good until you start introducing battle tomes and everyone wants to make them exciting and new, and suddenly, blarg.
Breaking all these rules. Right.
Mm-hmm. So they've tried to keep army composition as open as possible to reflect the diverse army array of forces found in the Mortal Realms, implementing soft incentives to push armies that are thematic and maintain a healthy mix of units and heroes.
Okay, so I have one question about these command points.
Uh-huh.
How are they going to do OBR?
Okay. We're going to... I'm going to be diplomatic about this.
Okay.
We're going to put a pin in that because we have no idea and I don't care to speculate. because there with nothing to go on.
I know. But OBR just so annoying.
Here's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is those will just be turned into special rules on their war scroll and say that, you know, these things can be done. And so
I hope so, because right now it totally sucks. I hate them so much.
They're okay. I've played against them a couple of times. I've played against them a couple of
times. Command points. Okay.
Yeah. I've played against them a couple of times, and it hasn't been that bad. Okay. I have played them against a couple of people who really know what they're doing with them, and oh my.
Right?
That gets scary. In fact, the last time I played against it was probably the best OBR player I've ever played against, but that was at Herner's tournament, and we would have lost except the board killed off the board won the game for us.
It did,
because that's scary. I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't you know what I'm saying, like it's already getting late, and I don't want to speculate because no clue whatsoever.
Yeah, that was the first thought when I saw this. Is like, okay, command points are scarce resource. Great. And then there's this army that has 15 of them. Like, okay, awesome. And they have their own list, and it doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the game. Like, okay.
they're one of the armies I'm most curious about, because they're one of the armies that is really got a ton of rules and a ton of special stuff and a ton of oddness. And when we were watching that, Games Workshop did their movie. One of the things that they had said was the game is only as simple as your most complicated army.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to clean that up, OBR is going to get a total redo, I feel like.
Remember what happened to Tomb Kings when they
got a whole redo, because their whole army
gone.
And well, I don't think OBR will be gone, but I think you're going to see a reboot on how they work.
Yeah, I mean, Tomb Kings were an extremely technical army to play.
Barnett loved it, but it didn't play like any other army, and you had to do things in certain. It was crazy. But let's go. Okay, let's keep on this because I'm tired.
Yep.
All right. So on top of your regiments, you'll also be picking your sub faction. Those are battle formations, which have been refocused around the fighting style of an army rather than their specific background. So that's interesting. So instead of just picking Army of the Ever Chosen or Army of this, instead of picking it, it's going to the focus isn't going to be about does this fit to their lore, but does this fit to more to their fighting style, which if it does, should then also fit into the lore, you know?
Yeah.
But that's cool because fitting your fighting style is important because sometimes they play it to the lore and they give you some lame rule that doesn't really help for war, but is fun for flavor.
Yeah.
Other important aspects of army building are also sticking around. Artifacts of power, heroic traits, which used to be known as command traits. Heroic traits replace command traits, similar manner, except for the fact that they can be given to any hero, not just your general. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so here you go. If I can give my command trait to someone that's not the general, then I don't have to avoid taking a special character as my general.
Yeah, unless you get...
Because nobody wants to take Ushorin because or not Ushorin. Nobody wants to take Rykonor as your general because I want to have the other guy on a steed who can take the cool command trait that helps my army.
Right.
But now I mean, give it to somebody else.
We're also assuming that we're just thinking that only one model can get a command trait. Maybe multiple models get command traits now. We don't know.
Given to any hero, not just your general? Oh, so it doesn't say every hero.
Yeah.
Oh, if it said every hero, that would be bananas.
Yeah, maybe it's more than one, though, you know?
It could be. Well, I don't know. Like you said, this is vague and tempting and tantalizing and well done in that respect, but aggravating for me that I don't know what I'm talking about. So, all right, real quick, last break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the anatomy of the new War Scroll and then be done.
Awesome.
There's always something happening at Grognard's. That's right, friends. Grognard Games in Roselle, Illinois. The premier stop for your gaming needs in Northeast Illinois. If you're in the Chicagoland area, if you're in Southeast Wisconsin, if you're anywhere in the area, Grognard's is the place for you. They've got board games. They've got card games. They've got all the models you could ever want for any of your miniature war games. They have so many lines of paints, I can't even keep track of it. They've expanded the store. They have a whole huge gaming area now. There is gaming every night. There is always something going on. I just can't tell you enough about Grognard's. Why? Because they're awesome. Because they're fantastic, and because they are the best friendly local gaming store that I know of. So do yourself a favor, come on down to Grognard's in Roselle, Illinois. If you can't get down to Grognard's, give them a call. They do mail order. They do shipping. You can get your stuff from them whether you live 5 minutes away or 5 hours away, because Grognard's delivers. They deliver the goods, they deliver the fun, they deliver everything. And that's because there is always something happening at Grognard's.
And we are back. Hello.
Hey. Oh, I get the hiccups. Good gravy.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, I haven't had the hiccups in like a year. This is dumb. Okay. New War Scroll. The War Scroll has been the mainstay of Age of Sigmar since the first days of the edition. It's evolved, but it's still one of the most recognizable parts of the game. Things have changed. Everything a unit can do is now an ability, and each are clearly labeled, color-coded, and symbol-coded to demonstrate exactly what phase of the game each ability is used in. Now, I know that's going to aggravate Harrison. He hates it. He's like, don't give me a symbol, but now I got to learn a bunch of symbols.
Well, that boy can't read color, so.
Oh, red and green phases are no use to him.
That's no bueno.
This system is the key that unlocks the whole game. Even basic universal actions such as moving and fighting are now shared abilities listed in the core rulebook, while every war scroll has at least one ability unique to them, which will define their battlefield role. So what's on a war scroll? Now, you can't see the pictures online, but you can go and find the article called The Anatomy of a War Scroll in the new edition of Warhammer Age of Sigmar on Warhammer Community and follow along.
Yep.
All right, so let's take a look at this war scroll.
Every war scroll is going to have its own little ability, which is kind of like, if you're familiar with 10th edition 40K, that's how that works. Like, literally every unit has its own ability.
Cool.
That's what this is going to be.
And that's nice.
It also might be why they're ditching a bunch of the Stormcast War Scrolls, is because so many units are the same. They kind of do the same thing.
Right, so you don't need them.
You don't need them anymore.
That makes sense. Yeah. And then I do like in the lore how they're going back to Sigmar's calling them back to do other work. You know what's happening? Sigmar's taking them all out to a farm where they can live and run and have lots of room to play.
There you go.
All right, so it has a move characteristic still.
Yeah.
The wounds is now replaced by health.
Yeah, semantics.
This is some semantics. I don't know if that's I'm assuming they're clearing it up so that wording, you know, won't be, you know, I don't know.
I think it's because they have a thing called wounds, and then they have a stat on your other thing called wound. Like,
right. So, right? Yeah.
Like, what do you wound on? What do you mean? How many wounds do you have? Yeah. Wait, what do you wound on? Three. Well, I thought you said you had two wounds. Like,
Right. So, the health characteristic determines how many damage points can be allocated before a model is slain. So it works the same. I did 12 damage. You have, these liberators have health of 2. So 12 damage. Boom. So then there's control. Control determines how well each model in the unit can contest objectives. So this is basically if you've got these guys have control 1. So if you've got 10 of these guys by an objective, they have 10.
Yep.
There you go. I like that the number's going to be on here because that's the thing that always confuses me. I'm always looking up, okay, if you got more than 5 wounds but you're not a monster, then you get 2. But if you got 10 wounds, then it's 5. So now they're just going to list it on the sheet.
Unless you're a Gargant, then you have more.
Yeah.
Or your Kragnos, and you have a lot. You know,
but then on control, it would just say it, which is great. You know what I'm saying? Because they have 35 wounds, and each how many wounds they have is what they would put, right?
That's
what the Mega Gargants do.
Right ear makes right ear. They have a
right.
They have a stat on their war scroll card that goes down with how wounded they are.
Okay, so here you'd see the health. They would have 35 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then their control would be
35.
Yeah. So, but that's fine. So I look right there, though, and I know. That's what's great. You got a save characteristic.
These liberators have a 3 now instead of a 4.
Yeah. That's crazy. The keyword that the unit has is on the bottom. Keywords have 2 columns now. And there's like 2 columns, and it's fine. Infantry and champion is at the top. So you can have a champion, and I like they put it in the keywords, right?
Yeah. But no, well, yeah.
And there's no musician or standard bearer in the listed, so okay.
Because the liberators don't have that.
Order, Stormcast, Eternal, and Warrior Chamber. Interesting. Their chambers are listed here now. The weapons.
This was a unit of Vindictors. It would say infantry, champion, banner, musician.
I would assume so.
Say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's look at their
their little special ability. Every unit's going to have a special ability.
Right. But so before we even get to that, weapon, okay. Keywords at the bottom remain the same, though important gameplay keywords have been moved to their own line at the top for easy reference. So the stuff you most need to know more often is right there at the top. Okay. Weapons have seen a few subtle changes, but they still function in more or less the same way. In melee, 5 key attributes. Attack, hit, wound, rend, damage. They've been rebalanced better to reflect each unit's miniature, lore, and battlefield role. They said this in the video, too. They lined up the models. and you don't have wounds based on the size of your model, but they at least tried to line them up by and make sure that the wounds they had were at least made sense with the model.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as they redesigned wounds for the line,
right,
they took the size into effect. I'm like, okay, interesting.
Yeah, like one of these big, gigantic Stormcast dudes has two wounds.
Yeah. Liberators hit hard for basic troops, given their crit mortal ability.
Mm-hmm.
One of seven universal weapon abilities. So, okay, so it's basically crit. Apparently, the crit rule means an unmodified six.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you roll a six, it's a crit. And then what's in the parentheses is going to be that ability.
So, mortals. So, they do mortals on sixes.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And that's a universal ability, crit. So, crit, this one does mortals. So, if it does something else when you crit, it would say something else in the parentheses. Right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing?
I would say crit mortal. So crit is, I guess, a universal weapon ability.
Yeah, it's what it says here. A universal weapon ability. Crit mortal. Okay, it has a simple effect.
So it might say crit sustained or something, or crit.
Yeah, maybe. Like, yeah, okay.
Exploding or whatever, which means that on a six, you get an extra hit.
And so, I like this. Because, it's honestly annoying that every war scroll, if I roll an unmodified six, I get this. And everybody's got a rule, and I got to check the rule. And if unmodified sixes, if they condense all those different rules and it goes right there next to the weapon, that's great.
Yes.
Because I shouldn't have to go read my entire war scroll and get to that last part and find it to find. No, just sixes do mortals. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in 40K, the new one, they've got the same thing. They've got universal special rules.
Okay.
And it's like, if they do like lethal hits, sustained hits, all these different rules. They all kind of just, they mean, it means sixes, explode, you get an extra hit, or sixes to hit give you an automatic wound, or six, it's all the same thing.
Yeah, it makes sense. Then we get to the, now we get to the abilities, okay? Oh, they talk about the missile weapons still have range, albeit generally reduced.
Yeah,
so
that's
now they shorten shooting range. So you're not just going to be able to sit all the way back and take your opponent off the board, I hope.
Yeah, that wasn't too much of an issue. It didn't seem like it, but
it could happen though. Whatever. I mean, I'm assuming that they know. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They've been working on this for a while.
Yeah.
They now, everyone fights within a 3-inch combat. So everyone within 3 inches of fights.
Yeah.
Makes it
combat
simple.
Combat gauge
range. Also, when we were talking, I thought the objective, didn't I read in the objective thing, it's within 3 inches of the
40 millimeter token.
Yeah, within 3 inches of a 40 millimeter, and I don't think it's not the, it didn't say the center.
No, it's from the outside of the 40 millimeter token.
So you drop a 40 mil token, and then wherever your combat gauge reaches from the edge of the token. You know what, and I like that too, because I also like the fact that when we would put down, because we didn't buy those clear things with the dot in the middle. And without
I had
some. I know, but we never really, I'm saying, we would just put down tokens, and unless the middle is clearly delineated, it's not clearly delineated. Here it's just, 3 inches from the edge. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So now the objectives are going to be, I guess it's like,
how wide is 40 mil? We talked about this.
I think it's like, we did talk about this. So it's 6 inches plus however wide a 40
millimeter token. Yeah, so the diameter is going to be about 7.5 inches.
Something like that.
Total? That's the diameter. So radius about 3 3/4 inches, maybe.
Yeah, because right now AOS objectives are huge.
So now it's a little tighter. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, so that's been a 3-inch combat. Finally, there's redesigned abilities. So this is cool, and they talk a lot about this. Now, if you can see the picture, it's got a little rule in a box.
Yeah. It's purple.
It's purple, which means that's the end of turn phase. Yep. So this happens at the end of the turn phase. It's got a little circle, which is the symbol for control ability, that just solid circle.
Yep.
So this has to do with the end of turn when you're control. So obviously it has to do with holding objectives, right? And it says here, add 3 to this unit's control score when it is contesting an objective wholly within friendly territory. Now, I freaked out when I first saw that, and we were on the Discord, and I said, so if I'm in my own territory, I drop 5 libs,
yeah,
and their control score is 1 goes to 4, so those 5 yes. libs are worth 20? And it was like, no, Dave, no. There's 5 of them. So their yeah. control of 1 makes it 5, and then you add 3, their control is 8. And I was like, oh, okay. I just thought Liberators became one of the best units you could use, right? I was like, oh, my gosh, you just drop them, and you got to kill every one of them. No, they just get a +3 no matter what. So even if they got 2 guys there, they're going to have a 5. But that, you know, so that's their rule. Liberators are good at holding a place. Huh?
Add 3 to this unit's control score. While it's contesting the objective, holy, oh, it's the unit's control score.
Right. And it's not their control stat or their control number. It's their score.
I see.
It's the score. Yeah, see, you thought what I thought, didn't you?
This
is the problem. I'm hanging out with you too much, and now I'm becoming that gamer where I looked at that and said, 20.
I didn't read the semantics. I know.
I'm just teasing you, but it's like I automatically saw that and just assumed that this was, I'm like, oh, how can I make this the best for me? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's 8.
Yeah.
Which is still a problem.
A unit of 5 libs would be 8. I'm assuming they're going to be units of 10.
Well, it means like one dude.
Well, I mean, no, I'm saying I'm going to assume they come in units of 10.
No, I think it'll be 5.
Liberators? No.
Yeah, yeah.
So then the maximum size of that unit is 10?
Yeah.
Maybe they're elites. I was just thinking they might be more. Okay. I just thought they would be the size of the box.
Well, we don't know how it comes in a box, do we?
Oh, Dami, don't they currently come 10 in a box? I'm just assuming that they're not
changing. They do.
Yeah.
They do, but the unit size of Liberators is 5 right now.
Right. No, that's true. I just figured the way that they're doing things now, just buy a box and it's good, that it would be. But that could be you buy 10 and you got 5, and if you want to reinforce it.
You know, in the Thunderstrike armor, they might be 10. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
We don't know.
So last thing.
That means 1 Liberator's 4.
Yeah, but no, yeah. So, yeah, 1 Liberator. If you got 1 Liberator left, that he's got a 4 control score. So,
pretty cool.
But that's cool. All right. So, even Nagash is on a single little war scroll.
Oh, we also need to mention like the equipment these dudes have.
Oh, okay. And oh, I read something. They posted that on on Facebook on the Warhammer, one of the Warhammer community pages, and someone asked about this. It was an interesting answer.
Yeah.
So, you see a guy there with 2 Warhammers, these Liberators. Now, we've built Liberators that come with Warhammer and Shield, unless the new Liberators don't come Warhammer and Shield, and they only come with Warhammers.
I think they showed one with a shield.
Oh, yeah, maybe they did. Okay. So, Warhammer, then, 2 attacks, 3s by 3s, 1 rend, 1 damage, crit, mortal. And then it says here, each model in this unit is armed with a Warhammer. There are no options, like before, for 2...
No.
There's no options for Warhammer Shield or 2 Warhammers. And then it just says 1/5 of your models can replace their Warhammer with a Grand Hammer.
Yep.
And the champion can't replace their weapon. So no putting the Grand Hammer on the champion, because the champion's going to get their own universal bonus, whatever that is, their own special rule.
+1 attack or whatever.
Whatever it is, right? Because champions always have their own thing. So champion can't take the Grand Hammer. What is interesting is someone on the Facebook page I read said, well, what if I got guys with hand weapon shield, and what if I got guys with 2 hand weapons? And the response was, because they said, is there going to be a different war scroll for their different kit? And they go, nope, that's the war scroll. The kit on your model doesn't actually matter for them at this point, whether it's whether it's 2 hand weapons or hand weapon shield. The only thing that you have to have is if 1 in 5 has a Grand Hammer, he has to have the Grand Hammer. And your champion needs to be, you need to know which model is your champion.
He's got to stand out, whether he's got like a fancy helmet.
Which leads me to wonder if all of these different kit options are just going to be standardized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could have more than one weapon. Like, if we look at Nagash's scroll, he's got 2.
Yes.
But I'm wondering if...
Did you see that picture some joker put on Facebook of a Liberator with 2 shields?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Because it doesn't matter, but that's just...
It doesn't matter. It's like, I put a guy there with 2 shields.
Maybe that's your champion. That's how he survives all the battles.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the Ossiarch Bone Reaper War Scroll for Nagash, Supreme Lord of the Undead. He has a
which somebody immediately posted. You can only take Nagash and Ossiarch Bone Reapers now. Oh my God!
No, okay. And it says on the bottom, while it's a keyword here, Nagash has a separate war scroll in each of the faction packs from Grand Alliance Death.
That wasn't on there in the original post of this.
Oh, wasn't it?
They added that later.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay, so he's got 18 health, a 10-inch move, a 3-up save, same as a Liberator. And a 10 control. Hold on one second. I got to take off this sweater. Let me take off my headphones. So I can take this sweater off. I'm getting hot down here.
And he's getting all hot and bothered about Nagash.
That's it. You got me. All right. So he's got a bunch of stuff on here, but it fits on one side of a card. He has a bunch of special abilities, but they're all marked with those codes that they showed you. He has two weapons, okay? Mm-hmm. Alakanesh and Zephet Nebtar, the two weapons. Four attacks each. They're each 3s by 3s. They're each 2 rend. One does D6 damage. One does 3 damage. So Nagash is no slouch in combat.
Yeah.
Battle damage. Now, this is passive. It's black, which means it's in the which phase? Where's that picture? Start a turn phase. Passive. While this unit has 10 or more damage points, subtract 3 from its power level.
Whatever that means.
Oh, the power level is, I'm assuming that's wizards have a power level.
Do we know that?
I think they do. Because doesn't it? Hold on a second. Didn't they talk about this? Did I miss an article? Hold on.
I don't think they talked about that.
Wait, his signature spell, Invocation of Gas, a flexible... I thought they talked about it in here.
No.
They have unique abilities. You'll notice he has Wizard Fly and Ward have been standardized.
Like that 7 where it says your hero face 7. Like, what the heck is that?
Well, they said that's a spell, so I'm assuming that's the casting cost.
So you get to roll 7 to cast it?
Yeah. This unit it says this unit can cast this spell more than once per phase. Pick a visible unit. It's a spell.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's no number here, I'm assuming that's the number.
But we don't know. We're just assuming that. We don't
know. Right, but I mean, it doesn't say what it costs to cast. That's the only number there. I think that's a safe assumption. But yes, we are guessing.
Do you take 2d6 and
then
you...
Subtract 3 from its power level. That's a good question. Okay.
I think the 7 must be its power level?
Well, then... The
7. I have no clue. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's look. Passive Staff of Power. Add 2 to casting rolls for this unit while it has not miscast any spells this turn. If this unit miscasts a spell, ignore the restriction that would stop this unit from casting more spells this turn. Interesting. So if he miscasts, he can keep casting, but it costs him 2 more.
Yeah. And so
he adds 2 only if he hasn't miscast this turn.
Yeah.
So if he miscasts...
He doesn't add 2 anymore.
Then he loses his bonus. Interesting.
Yeah. I assume we don't know what a miscast is?
Nope.
Is it 2 ones?
But it says Wizard 9 on the bottom.
It does
Wizard
say that.
Wizard 9. Is that... See, I assume that was a power level, but what does that mean?
I don't know.
It also doesn't say how many spells he can cast or dispel.
Nope.
But Hand of Dust isn't even a spell anymore.
No, it's his ability.
Once per turn per army, apparently, in the army. So once per turn at the end of any turn?
Yeah.
Keyword rampage. So this is a rampage now.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, because, well, he's a monster. Maybe that's the same thing, because he is a monster.
Maybe it's like a monstrous
So
ability.
His monstrous rampage is Hand of Dust? I could just blank you? Okay.
Yeah.
Once per battle in the hero phase, he can set up a replacement unit identical to the target wholly within 12 of this unit and more than 9 inches from all enemy units. And it doesn't even say it's half power. So once per battle, he can just bring back a whole unit.
Yep.
And then he's got this spell. Okay, if this can be cast more than once per phase, pick a visible unit wholly within 18 that's not been picked by the target of this spell. Okay, so you can cast it, but you can't pick it on the same unit twice. Then roll 2d6.
This might be his only spell, or is this his War Scroll spell?
This is War Scroll spell. I'm assuming they're going to have other spells.
Oh, lords. They already said they're going to have spell.
How many can he cast?
Who knows? Nine? Seven?
I mean, well, if there's a nine by his name, that kind of makes sense. He's Nagash.
He's got, that's, how many books does he have flying around him? Nine or 13?
Yeah,
or
the nine. I mean, I don't know. This War Scroll is really simplified.
I feel like he can cast, here's where I read it. I think he can cast nine times. He has nine casts.
Okay.
And an invocation of Nagash is cast on a seven.
Well, I think the spell's cast on a seven. I agree with you there.
So you roll 2d6. That's, you say he rolls a five.
Yep.
He adds two to it because that's his staff of power. Now he has a seven.
Yep. And so then it casts. And if he miscasts, he can keep casting, which apparently is against the rules for other people.
Yes.
But then, so how many can he cast? You know, maybe it is that nine. Is it that nine?
Yeah, that's kind of what he does now, right?
Yeah, he's got a lot of spells. I just, I don't know. But this was the last article that we had when I prepped for the show. Yeah. And God, this looks so much easier.
Right.
And once you learn the colors, seriously. Hero phase, movement phase, because I will get it eventually. I'm starting to notice the hero phase is gold. Like, I'm remembering that one already, you know?
Yep.
And some of these are passive, the purple, so it just always happens.
The purple one's at the end of the phase.
End of turn.
So does that mean Rampage happens at the end because it's purple?
After combat. So
it
after
keywords, combat.
Keywords,
Rampage.
Yeah, and it happens. Purple. So if Rampage is still the same and the monster rampaging, they rampage after combat. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see a battle shock phase.
No.
And in the Discord, someone was talking about the control, and then someone mentioned a morale check. That's a 40K thing, right?
No, that's a battle shock.
No. Someone mentioned a morale check. I'm asking you, is a morale check something from 40K?
Yes, it's called battle shock.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, on the Discord, someone said that, and I said, what's a morale check? And then someone responded, it's the same thing as a battle shock check. And I said, no, I'm asking, what is that anymore? Because there's no leadership and there's no bravery stats.
No.
And I haven't heard word one about battle shock phase, battle shock anything in any of these. And so,
I don't know. Like, how does it rule this game
where at the end of a combat you don't figure something out about who won the combat?
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem like there's any psychology rules at all.
Yeah, that's you and I were talking about this the other day, and it's like, I don't know.
It's wild.
And like I said, I didn't even think about it till it came up in the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Greg Dan who said, I bet you know, with the holding the objectives, there will be morale checks will affect your control. Your control could be affected by your morale. And I'm like, but what's morale? I don't see that here. And that hasn't come up at all. And now that
the only thing I can think of is there might be ways to make people's control zero or something.
Well, I'm saying, they just went through the anatomy of the War Scroll part. And obviously, there's more stuff coming. But
like a zombie dragon has an ability called terror. And if you're, in combat with it, you don't get to use inspiring presence or whatever because you're too scared. So
maybe you
if
lose
you're with
control
it,
or you can lock.
Now maybe you lose 1 point of control or something off your War Scroll because you're so scared.
Interesting.
You know, so everything's going to be
all right,
based
now
around.
Now we're totally getting into the guessing phase, though. And
absolutely. Yeah. But,
I mean, it's fun. I just don't. It's crazy.
It's immaterial to the discussion of what's actually on the paper in front
and,
of us.
Yeah, and that's I'm trying to keep to what's on the paper in front of us because speculation. I'm reading all this stuff just like you guys are. I'm watching YouTube. I'm watching the Warhammer stuff they're posting. And then I'm seeing other people and so much speculation and some of it's cool and some of it I'm excited about, but now I'm starting to, like I said, I'm starting to forget what I'm reading and what I didn't. Like, I probably heard someone talking about power level and guessing at what it was, which is why I was so confident what I said it was.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. That's why I'm trying to stay out of too much speculation and just stick more with what we know. And but what we know so far is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Giving up command, giving up tactics to take the double turn
is cool.
So, yeah. Simplified war scrolls, I'm all about it, man.
Right.
Now, yeah, they did say there's universal special rules. Let's hope it's not 20 pages again.
Well, there's going to probably, well, they said there's at least 7 weapon ones, right?
It said one of seven universal weapon abilities. Oh, yeah. So there's 7 weapon abilities. Well, yeah, okay. Well, who knows? Let's see what they are.
We don't know what the others, I mean, obviously there's going to be stuff like.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying they're promoting simplifying and making it easier for people to get in. So I'm assuming less of these universal special rules.
There's probably going to be 7 weapon ones. There's going to be like 5 moving ones. There's going to be a couple of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like swift. Okay, what does swift mean? Oh, it means it always moves extra 6 inches because it's an elf on a horse.
Oh, right. Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Swift. Get special rule. Okay, cool.
And maybe that'll just be in with the with
it'll
your
just
mouse.
Be on their it'll just be their on their what one of their keywords.
Or it could just be under the like the mounts weapon list. Like they've got hooves and mouths, but they also have swift, which is a different thing. I mean, maybe not under the weapons, but something. Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Right. Yeah, it'll just be one of their abilities. You know, where it says like, and so you know, on a liberator scroll, it says passive with a little circle there. So it'll be gray because it'll be movement and it'll be a arrow. It'll be a movement ability and it'll say gray and it'll say swift. What is that?
Yeah, maybe. Or, you know, yeah. I mean, who knows? All I know is that this Nagash War Scroll is a lot easier to figure out and remember everything that's on it than his other ones.
Oh, yeah.
The Liberator one's really easy too. Like, that's pretty straightforward. And. You know, if we can eliminate some of the complexity of units that have 7 different weapon choices and trying to pick between the 7, I don't mind if you have a choice between 1 or 2 things, but sometimes you get a long list, and that way you can just kind of model what's cool.
Right. Well, that was always my beef with Age of Sigmar when I first started playing, and 9th edition 40K is if I show up to a game and I have never played against your book before. You could literally tell me anything. I just have to believe you.
There's so much there. Exactly.
So much. Now it's just like, well, what do those guys do? Oh, they have sustained hits and crit mortals. Okay. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. Basically,
crit mortal. They have crit mortal. Okay, good. So I when these guys roll sixes, they do mortal. Sixes, you know, sixes do this, sixes do that. Okay, crit, they have crit mortal. Okay, yeah. Speaking of knowing what's coming up, we got the Bwompa Womps. Bwompa Womp! Because we're coming to that time, buddy. That's the end of it. It is time to wrap this up. And before we wrap up, I want to thank the show sponsors, Chaos Orc Superstore, Six Squared Studios, and Grognards. Patreon sponsors, our associate producers, Jake C., James Brown, Old Man Yeti, our executive producers, Scotty Milne, George Stradone, and Kyle Leaf. Thank you all for becoming part of the 1% who make this show and every show possible. And hey, don't forget to leave a voicemail, 1-757-GH-SHOW-6. Oh my God, we didn't do that in the beginning.
Leave a voicemail.
Yeah, I didn't say the whole thing, though. We just played it, because like I did all this stuff, and then I called you. What a dum-dum thing. Okay.
Also didn't do a toolbox. That's okay.
Well, we didn't have time for the toolbox. We'll do another tool. You know what? If we do that bonus episode of Adepticon, we'll throw in some toolbox later or something.
Okay.
Or maybe we'll do it next week. Who knows? Everything's up for grabs. But what I know right now, Chris, is that only the faithful will be triumphant. Only the faithful will stand when all others fall. And only the faithful will know no despair except in failure.
Oh, Sigmar!